Good evening.
Evening, Hanoi.
How you doing, Chris?
Hey, we're doing all right. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, things are good.
Good.
Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach.
Okay.
Ana Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha, Ta. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dor Shehudcha Gevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharem Rachame Sidkacha Tamid Gamlem Bet Tet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Birotucha Nael Adatach Et Kufbet Et Nunayan Yachid Gehe Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shabbatenu Kabel Shmatiakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tadiyut Taf. Taf that created the planet Levana, the planet we call the moon, and the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab or the cancer, and the Chet also created the Hebrew month of Tammuz. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. We are continuing our study of the future temple on the essay called Key Concepts in Mishkanei Elyon. And this essay is to give you some definitions of some words that he uses in the translation as well as in the Hebrew, and they're Kabbalistic concepts generally. But let us proceed and we'll begin to understand that. We're starting with the concept of Shefa. There is no simple one-word English equivalent of the Hebrew word Shefa. In most places in this translation of Mishkanei Elyon, phrases such as the flow of blessing and sustenance have been chosen in an attempt to convey something of the true meaning of the word. In contemporary Hebrew, shefa means plenty or abundance, but the root word has a connotation of influence, especially a positive beneficial influence that one person or object has on another. The related word, hashpa, signifies the influence that a mashpia, a source of influence, has on the recipients of that influence. In Mishkanei Elyon and Kabbalah generally, shefa refers to the spiritual influences which emanate from the higher levels of creation in order to sustain the lower and help bring them to their destiny. That is a nice paragraph. It's a nice way of talking about astrological influences. But there's a difference between shefa and astrological influences, because astrological influences also bring people into situations that they're unequipped to deal with, and it causes them to make further mistakes. for their sins. But let's continue, and maybe he will clarify all of this. The word creation here refers to all the different worlds and levels brought into being by God. These created worlds encompass not only this material world of Asiya, in which we live, including the earth and all it contains, and all the planets, stars, and galaxies to the outer limits of the physical universe, but also the spiritual worlds that exist in the metaspace that is above our world of Asiya. These are the world of Yetzirah, world of the angelic hosts that sustain and govern the stars, planets, and other natural phenomena of Asiya, and the world of Bria, creation, the world of the higher angels, the officers that govern the angelic hosts of Yetzirah. The world of Bria is also known as the world of the throne. I'm going to make a comment, but not here. Let's read on. Beyond Bria lies a realm of godly unity that is the source of all these created worlds. This realm of unity is a world of Atzilut, emanation, from which the light of the ten Sephirot shines forth to create, sustain, and govern all the lower worlds. Creation is not only a single past act, it is also a continuing process in which all the worlds are governed in such a way as to bring all things to the ultimate goal, the complete revelation of God on all levels of creation. To accomplish this goal, there is a continuous influx of various kinds of power or energy into creation. These powers sustain and govern all the different levels of creation, spiritual and physical, so as to bring all things to the ultimate goal. This flow of power and energy is called Shefa. This is a good definition. I'm very comfortable with this definition. Every planet has an angel. Every star, every thing we put a name to, the physical heavens and earth, has an inner essence as well as an outer body. That is, an inner essence is an angel. That inner essence is used to manipulate the outer body, to send influence to other entities, generally considered on a lower level of spiritual frame, lower level of spirituality, is the sun a higher level of spirituality than a human being? In its uncorrected state, the human being is lower than the sun, the spirituality of the sun. But ultimately, the human being will grow to become the inner essence of another level in the world to come, in the next process. Just like the angels of the stars and planets, the inner essence of the stars and planets of our world, our physical expression world, came from the previous, the people who corrected previously. In the previous frame of existence, called the 974 generations before Adam. And if you don't know what I'm talking about when we discuss that, please ask a question about it. The ultimate goal of creation is the end point to which everything is moving. The reason why everything is going in that direction is because that is where God is making everything go. To make something go is to drive it, as when one drives an animal or a car. The Hebrew word for driving is hanhaga, from the word nahag, from the root nahag, which means to drive or make something go. The Kabbalistic concept of hanhaga refers to the way the worlds are actually governed in order to bring everything to the ultimate goal of creation. Creation is seen as being driven by God, somewhat as a chariot, which is the Hebrew word merkava, and the animals pulling it are driven by the charioteer. The animals of the divine chariot are the chayot, the higher angels that are the vital force of creation. As the chayot draw the chariot, the ofanim, literally the wheels, go round and round. These are the lower angels that govern the great wheels or cycles of creation. The hanhaga, or driving, is ultimately determined by the one sitting in the driver's seat, this being the throne of kingship. From it, the king governs all his armies or legions. The souls, angels, and other orders and levels of created beings, all these hosts are God's armies, sent to accomplish his purpose. And he sustains them and provides all their needs according to their different levels, spiritual and physical. The sustenance sent to sustain and influence all the different levels is Shefa. Central to Mishkanei Elyon is the idea that is from the temple that the Shefa of blessing and sustenance is drawn down to all the worlds in positive, beneficial ways. The temple service is what actually elicits the flow of Shefa and causes it to come down to all the various levels of creation, according to their respective needs. The temple is the king's palace where all his officers and captains assemble, as it were, to receive what they need for themselves and those under them. The entire palace is laid out accordingly to provide appropriate areas for all the different order grades and ranks. There are set times for them to come forward, all with their respective boundaries. Everything is arranged according to an overall seder, an overall order. The key to understanding this order is to study the path by which the Shefa comes to its recipients. Understanding this pathway unlocks the mystery of the temple layout and service. This is why Ramchal sets himself to follow the path of the flow of blessing, as it emerges from the source and spreads forth on all sides. This is really an excellently written paragraph, very clearly describing what is Shefa and how ultimately astrological influence is caused by the Shefa, but it's something else. And it explains the different levels. It is a very well-written paragraph. And yet, it is incomplete. I'm not sure how to clarify what's incomplete about it. There is a plan of creation. That plan in creation is driven by the thought of creation. That thought of creation sends influence to all aspects of the creation to keep it moving in sync with the other aspects of creation. Shefa is that flow of influence. Call it energy. Call it a chariot. Call it a pathway. These are all metaphors for what is Shefa. Shefa is the control mechanism, but not the way this paragraph described it or this essay described it, because there's no influence, no coercion in spirituality. Direction implies coercion. Now, there is a concept dealing with Shefa. It's a concept that makes us ask the question, why does light bulbs wear out? Why do clothing wear out? Why does everything in the world come together? When I say come together, why does everything in the world ultimately fail? And it's because there's a conversation between the vessel and the light. The light says, how much Shefa, how much energy, how much influence do you want to receive? Because how much Shefa you receive is how much influence you will manifest in the lower level. That conversation says, how much do you want to receive, lower level? And the lower level puts a number to it as a metaphor. I want to receive 100 watts, 1,000 watts, 1,000,000 watts, the power, the equivalent of the Hoover Dam. And the Shefa influence, after having that conversation and being given an answer that is quantifiable, says to itself, all right, this vessel can handle this much of the Shefa, but I want it to expand. I want it to give it more. I want it to become more influential. So instead of giving it X, I give it X plus Y. And then what happens is the additional amount Y causes the vessel to break down, to no longer be useful. That is not considered influence. That is not considered coercion. It's like saying it's the way it is. It's not an acceptable answer. But at this level of conversation and this level of understanding, it is what we have to work with. Shefa influences all of the other levels. But ultimately, there is much to overcome in the influence of Shefa. Shefa does not have coercion built into it. And yet, the idea of driven, the Merkava, implies that aspect. And that is a mistake to understand it that way. The next section is titled Roots and Branches of the Tree. We actually do not have time tonight to finish reading this aspect. It is such an overwhelming tool of the Kabbalah, because it's talking about the language of roots and branches, which Rabbi Ashlag explained. that in mind, I think we're going to leave this for the next idea. The next item is also a long session. And then we reach something called lights, numbers, names, and numbers. It's only 4 or 5 paragraphs, so we will have time to discuss it. Please know that we probably will have something missing because I've skipped 2 sections. The various Sephirot and Partsufim are different aspects of the godly power or light. That is the source of all creation. It is because of the different ways in which the unified light of God is contracted that it shines in these different ways on different levels. That is one way to understand it. Because the light contracted into itself in different patterns, it has different aspects, different attributes. Those attributes are Sephirot. Those attributes are Partsufim, which we haven't defined it, either one, but it's more difficult to define the Partsufim. In Mishkanei Elyon, the various Sephirot and Partsufim are called Meorot, luminaries, or sources of light. In the present translation, this term has in most cases been translated as lights, rather than by the more antiquated term luminaries. Why does the Kabbalist use the term lights? What does that teach us about the essence? If I light a candle, I can light another candle with that candle. Have I diminished the lighting of the candle by the lighting of the second candle? No. I've not caused a diminishment, I've caused an increase. This is the nature of the Creator. He wants to share. His essence is sharing. We'll come to understand what sharing means as we discuss Shefa and the flow of Shefa. But ultimately, the flow of Shefa causes the vessel to take on the aspect of the light. And the best way to describe that, the essence of the light in the vessel, is to call it luminary or light. We need to understand this at great depth. Each different light is a particular kind of spiritual influence. Each of the different kinds of influences is called a midah, a trait. The word midah carries the connotation of both measure and attribute, trait that can be measured, an attribute that can be measured. Each sephirah, partsuf, or aspect thereof is a unique measure or level of the divine light. The particular measure, level, and intensity of any given aspect determine its unique quality and character, just as different wavelengths of light are seen as different colors. A given measure is thus at one and the same time an attribute. A frequency of light that lets us see yellow is clearly a measure and an attribute. It's yellow. That same measure of light in a different frequency lets us see green. This is what is being described. The very idea of measure involves number. Every day we measure distances, sizes, weights, heat, cold, electrical power, sound, and much else using numerical scales of various kinds. Much of the success of modern science and technology is based on accurate, sophisticated measurement of different aspects of the physical world. For example, chemistry provides measurements of the electron configuration of the elements and precise formulas governing the ways they join together to form all kinds of compounds. There would be less agreement between students of the mind and spirit about how to measure character traits and emotions. Yet it is precisely with the measures or the midot of kindness, strictness, compassion, balance, and other spiritual qualities that Kabbalah is concerned, for it is with the various combinations of these qualities that God governs the creation. And the units of measurement are not numbers as we normally think of them, but the 22 letters of the Aleph-Bet, the letters of creation. There's much to be discussed in this section, but I'm not going to. I'm going to call it a night, an evening, because I am tired, and I apologize for that. But the three-week period is a difficult period for most people, and that's no different for my students, who then look to me for assistance and help in these issues. Does anybody have any questions? Have a beautiful evening. We shall speak to you tomorrow. Please have a beautiful Shabbat. Look forward to speaking with you at 10 a.m. on Sunday as we continue the letters of the Aleph-Bet, as well as 8 p.m. Monday, or 7 p.m. Monday, is the class beginning, the first class of the Sefer Yetzirah teaching. And I also invite you to 7 p.m. Wednesday, where we will continue with the second class of the Tree of Life, the Esther Sefirot writings from Rabbi Ashlag. That does not count my Monday to Thursday 5 p.m. class dealing with the Zohar, or in the case of this period of time, the Temple, as well as the 10 p.m. time Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, covering the temple during the three-week period and normally different traits, different aspects of Kabbalah and the Esser Sefirot. I bid you all good night.
Good night.
Shabbat Shalom, Chris.
Shabbat Shalom.